Welcome back to the Two Guys Named Chris Show. Our official attorney is Lisa Lanier. She joins us every week about this time. The segment is called Lawyer Up, where she goes inside the numbers on three fascinating legal cases and gives us what justice should, an answer. She's with us now. Good morning, Lisa. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. I hope you guys are.
Good. It was great to see you last Friday when you came in and we had an Ask the Lawyer segment late in the show. We're going to do that again soon. Fascinating stuff was asked about last week.
I loved it. Great questions.
They really were. Really good questions last week, so we'll do that again very soon. But inside the numbers on these today, one from a woman who was hit with a flying baseball bat in Fenway Park. You may have seen her story. Now, her name is Tanya Carpenter, and in June, she was at Fenway Park for a baseball game. Somebody hit a ball. The bat shattered. Part of it went into the stands, hit her. It was so bad, they really said at one point they were fearing she might die because she lost so much blood there. Took her to the hospital. She's still in rehabilitation now. She had to have brain surgery because the bat hit her in the head. And now they've talked about extending the nets at that stadium and other stadiums too, because it can be dangerous, things flying into the stands. The point of her now, though, is that her ex-husband now, who doesn't have a lot of sympathy apparently, decided to take her to court saying that these injuries have left her unable to care for their 7-year-old son. So he is suing for custody because she got hit by the bat. Do things like this happen where a woman gets hurt and then the husband goes back and gets custody of the kids?
Yeah, it does. And where you typically see it is not so much with an injury as you see it with like a terminal illness or something of that nature. And it's very sad because, you know, a lot of times the child is spending the last months, you know, or last years of life with this person who's dying, mm-hmm. With a parent who's dying. But the other parent steps in and says, hey, you know, wait a minute, you're no longer able to care for our child as you did before because of your illness or your injury, like in her situation. And the court looks at it, you know, it always weighs the best interest of the child. The court, you know, sets aside emotion and really tries to just look at the best interest of the child. But, of course, some emotion. You know, the judges are human,
yeah.
And some emotion comes into play. But you do see, basically, if the sick or injured parent is no longer able to care for the child, then they'll change custody.
I really feel for this woman. I mean, through no fault of her own, she gets hit by a baseball bat. Now she might lose her kid over it. That's really bad. I think this, I mean, I feel like she'll be able to care for the kid. You know, it's just an injury. She just got hit by a bat.
You said she's still rehabbing.
She'd rehab it a month later. Let's give her a little time here.
You would hope.
Give her a few months.
Yeah, you can't give kids a few months, Kelly. You've got kids. You know that.
Well, I would be all right with the father taking custody for until she's able to go back to the already agreed upon custody. And then at that point, he's got to give him back because she can recover from these injuries. These are this is just a baseball bat to the head. You know, I feel like she's going to recover here.
Oh, boy.
There was a case that got national attention not long ago out of North Carolina where a woman with terminal cancer lost custody of her kids to her husband in another state. So it essentially meant that she would no longer even be able to see her kids as she was dying, and she really didn't have the resources to fight him.
That's sad.
And, it was really sad.
Yeah, the whole thing is really sad. We'll keep an eye on that. Also, this also involves kids. Woman in Dallas woke up one morning, went onto Facebook, saw that her 4-year-old child, a girl, had been digitally kidnapped by somebody else. A man in another state had put up pictures as if this was his child, saying, look at daddy's little girl, look at what she's doing, that kind of thing. All the photos that this woman, the actual mother of the child, had posted on Facebook, this man had stolen them and now is pretending that the girl is his child. And it appears that it's not really against the law. I mean, it's sleazy, but there's really nothing they can do. The guy wrote underneath the pictures of the girl, she's going to break a lot of hearts someday, girl version of me, this is how she looks in the morning, daddy's little girl, that kind of stuff. And it's not his kid. So the woman immediately got the police involved, and it doesn't appear they can do anything. Has he broken any laws here, Lisa? It's a digital kidnap.
No, he has not broken any laws. And even social media like Facebook and Instagram, it doesn't even violate their policies typically. And they kind of brushed her off when she first went to Facebook and asked that they get involved. But he's not committed a crime. And it's happening a lot. And there are these communities of people who do this It's basically, they're called baby role players, and they adopt these virtual children and pretend that they're theirs, and they play all these little games, these little role-playing games. It's really bizarre and creepy. There are virtual adoption agencies that go out and skim all these photos, and they'll let somebody adopt and play all these weird games. It's bizarre. And then there are guys like this guy. I think he just was doing it. I don't think he was one of these role players, but I think he may have just been doing it. Some people do it, like borrowing a friend's dog to go walk in the park because, you know, people think you're nice. They assume you're, you know, you'll get women that way. Or
right,
something.
Right.
Yeah, so disturbing.
It's sick. I mean, I know it can't be against the law. I think something should be done to this man. I think that's just too sick.
But it was the woman's fault. She didn't read the Facebook policy. She made her photos public to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You can make your photos publishable only to your friends, and she clearly does not know this.
Right. So she put them out there.
So yeah, she just made, you know, it's a paperwork thing. Mm-hmm. It's a paperwork
that she messed it up. But don't a lot of people mess that up? I would assume a lot of people show it out there to everybody.
But you know, they kind of walk you through it when you.
Although
you join Facebook, yeah.
You know ahead of time. My wife doesn't put any pictures of our kids on Facebook at all. In fact, she told me, you know, I wanted to put up a darling video of my daughter after a swim meet up on our radio station Facebook, and my wife said no. She saw an Oprah about this a few years ago saying that that's what people do now. They steal those
photos.
It'll
be funny like in 25 years when they're in therapy. Why weren't you proud of us, Mom?
Yeah. Why?
Right.
What did we do wrong, Mom?
It was never enough, was it?
Why did we disappoint you? Do you think there's ever a day where the law comes in and says you can't do this, Lisa? That even no matter what the policies are of Facebook?
There may be. You know, there basically, all the changes in our digital technology and things are certainly causing a lot of changes in the law. But then you get it; you kind of run afoul of a lot of very traditional laws about photography and the right to use them and that sort of thing. And so it would take a lot to change it, but it's possible. Mm. Now, there are even guys. A police officer friend of mine told me that there are these guys like at the beach or at museums or amusement parks or places that kids frequent. That sort of hide or surreptitiously take photographs of other people's children, kind of along these same lines, to do, you know, use for their own weird purposes. So it's definitely something that happened even before the digital age.
That's your wife's biggest nightmare.
God, that's sick. That really is sick. So if somebody takes a picture of a kid at a beach or an amusement park and then just takes it home, that's not like child porn because it's just pictures of kids, right?
Right. Yeah,
as far as I know.
Public, you're perfectly okay to photograph other people's kids. And I happened to my kids one time when we were at the Outer Banks. Mm-hmm. And they were at that age where they were just like unbelievably cute, you mm-hmm. know, like three-ish. And some guy was just taking pictures of them at Jockey's Ridge on the sand dune like crazy. And I went over and asked him to stop, and he did. But, mm-hmm. you know, and he didn't have to.
Yeah, isn't that something? Yeah. I think there should be a law, a federal law, that says if a judge thinks this is sick, it's like the sick law. You ought to be able to stop them from doing it. You know, that's just messed up. You know, this is a messed up law. I don't like that at all.
I don't think you understand laws, but I understand.
I didn't go to law school. I attempted it for a brief period, never actually got into it. The final question today about a legal case is not about anything new age or new technology at all. In fact, it's something kind of old school. A woman in Arkansas is suing for $75,000 in damages because she, while she was on a team building exercise with her job, she and the group of people went at, you know, for one of these kind of team building things. They played musical chairs, and she wound up winning. But in the process of winning, she broke two fingers and said she's had problems ever since with her hand. And it's been 7 months, and she's just had a terrible time with it. This actually happened in 2011, but 7 months later, she still had terrible pain in her hands and had all sorts of therapy. So she's suing for $75,000. Lisa, I don't think she gets anywhere because I think she played musical chairs of her own free will. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, Arkansas is basically a modified comparative fault state, meaning that if she was more than 50% responsible for her injury, then she can't recover. And I think she was at least 50% responsible for what happened, if not 100%. Then she, in this situation, I think she's going after the university that held where the musical chairs game was held, but she probably could recover workers' comp through her employer. if this was work related, you know, for the fingers, but it would be very different. It would be very limited damages, just her medical bills and maybe, you know, wage loss and that sort of thing. And I think she may have already made that claim, but what she's doing here is going beyond that and suing for negligence, and I just don't see her winning that.
Mm-mm. Point of order. Remember, this woman won the musical chairs competition, getting the coveted koozie that goes along with the title.
That's true.
But she was injured. When it got down to the final round, there were three people circling one chair. And no court in the world should allow that kind of musical chairs.
That is ridiculous. Three people.
The numbers don't work.
No. Three people in one chair?
You can't do that.
No wonder she broke her fingers. She also messed up, too. She told other employees there that 2 weeks after the game, she accidentally slammed her hand into a door and also re-injured her fingers. So she's got really very little chance here, as you said, Lisa.
Yeah, she's going to have trouble. That's called an intervening cause. Mm-hmm. She's going to have problems.
She's going to have problems, and she played the worst game of musical chairs we've ever heard of. Anybody playing that way, well, they should be barred from playing, clearly. It's another one of those.
Yeah, she must have really done some aggressive musical chair playing to break her fingers.
Yeah, that too. You're right. I think she stuck her finger in underneath somebody, and they sat on her fingers. some fat guy sat on her fingers and broke her finger. Lisa Lanier is an expert when it comes to all things legal. If you have any kind of legal issues, get on the phone and call her or go to her website, lanierlawgroup.com. She's president there. Always welcome on this program, our official attorney of the Two Guys Named Chris Show. Lisa, it's good to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Have a great weekend.
You as well. Lawyer up with Lisa Lanier.